Well, welcome everybody. I call the Siskiyou County Planning Commission regular meeting to order for December 20th. Flag salute, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Hart.
Here.
Commissioner Mello.
Here.
Commissioner Fowl.
Present without a mic. Oh, it is there. It was blending in.
Commissioner Veal.
Present with a mic.
Chair Lindler.
Here. Okay, so great, everybody's here. Have you guys had a chance to review the October 18th and the November 15th minutes? Let's start with the October 18th minutes.
So moved.
Okay, so we have a motion by Commissioner Mello.
I'll second it.
We have a second by Commissioner Hart. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. The November 15th minutes. Any questions? Okay, motion. Anybody want to make a motion?
So moved.
Okay, again, we have a motion by Commissioner Mello.
I'll second.
Second by Commissioner Veal. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries again. Okay, great. Unscheduled appearances. Any person may address the commission on any subject matter within the jurisdiction or responsibility of the commission at the beginning of the meeting, or may elect to address the commission on any agenda item at the time the item is called by the chair, but before when the matter is acted upon. Are there any unscheduled appearances? Okay, seeing none. Are there any conflicts of interest declarations for the agenda today? Okay. I want to just double check the agenda. I do have a conflict of interest with the item 10 on the agenda. It's the Weed Berean Church Youth Permit. I am their forester, so I need to recuse myself. And then, let's see.
Is it going to be here? Are we going to discuss that?
To be continued.
Oh, it is to be continued?
Yes.
Okay, never mind. It's not on the agenda. But when that does come up,
we didn't get staff packets on it.
Okay, got it. I just saw it on there and I was like, right of appeal. Okay, yeah, that is to be continued. Well, for future reference, I need to excuse myself for that one. So with that, let me go to, okay, presentation of documents. All items presented to the Planning Commission during a public hearing become a permanent part of the record. 12 copies of any information presented to the commission should be given to the clerk of the commission for distribution to the commissioners. In order to obtain an accurate record of the testimony, please address the commission at the speaker's table and clearly introduce yourself with your full name and address. Your address will not be included in the minutes of the meeting. A maximum of 5 minutes will be given to each speaker, so that all interested parties will have an opportunity to address the commission. And then all public records related to an open session on this agenda, which are not exempt from disclosure pursuant to the California Public Resource or Public Records Act, that are distributed to a majority of the legislative body, will be available for public inspection at 806 South Main Street in Yreka. At the same time that the public records are distributed or made available to the members of the legislative body. All project documents are on file at the Planning Division of the Siskiyou County Community Development Department again at 806 South Main Street in Wairika, and are available for public review. Item 8 is the public hearing protocol, which is in the agenda. I won't read through that. And then I will go over the rights of appeal statement. And that states that the projects heard at the Planning Commission meeting may be subject to appeal within 10 calendar days of today's meeting. If the 10th day falls on a weekend, the appeal must be received the following business day. And then to contact the county clerk for information. Appeals must be submitted to the county clerk's office together with the appeal fee of $1,250. And if you challenge the environmental review or the project proposal in court, you may be limited to raising only those issues raised at the public hearing or in written correspondence delivered to the Siskiyou County Planning at or prior to the public hearing. Okay. So item 10, changes to the agenda and consideration of agenda items to be continued. One is the Reed Berean Church use permit UP 11-02-2M.
Through the chair.
Yes.
I'd like to request that be continued to the February meeting, not the January if possible.
I don't have a problem with that. Does anybody have a problem with that?
Nope. February, I may not be here.
Oh, let me see when February meeting is.
The 21st.
Yep. I may be doing playoff games down in Shasta County.
Okay.
I will be here. But I'll have to recuse myself.
Okay.
But we, if you three will be here, we'll still have
the 21st.
Yeah.
Quorum.
No, I will.
You'll be here in February?
That's too far out. I'm looking at January.
17th is January.
Yeah.
And then the 21st would be February.
I'll check with my booking agent at home. She's got me going twice about it. Nah.
Okay, let's tentatively schedule it for that. Okay. And if we don't have a quorum, can we discuss it again in January?
Yeah, I won't be here in January. We can discuss it because we can continue it tomorrow.
Okay.
Why don't we just do it in February? No.
Well, we'll do it in February.
Yeah.
We'll put it on for schedule for February. By January, we'll know if we have a quorum.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't have a quorum, we'll address it then.
Yep.
Yeah. Good job.
Do you need a motion on this, Council?
Is it an item that they want expedited, do you know?
February, they're okay with February.
Okay.
Did you have something?
It seems like item 10 is two items at once. So why don't we decide that the other one's going to get, when it's going to get continued to, and then make a motion as to both dates at once, even if they're different dates.
Oh, because are you talking about Golden Eagle?
Yes.
Okay. Got it. Okay, so we won't make a motion or anything on Weeper Ann. Now, Golden Eagle Charter School, when do we want that to be continued to? When
the January meeting.
The January?
Yep, it will be ready then.
Okay. So what we need is a motion to continue the Golden Eagle Charter School use permit UP23-08 to the January 17th meeting, and then the Weeper Ann Church use permit modification to the February 21st meeting.
Separate motions, yes.
Well, actually, as I think about it, I suppose they should be separate motions, because even if they're under the same agenda item. You're right.
Okay. Should they, maybe next time on the agenda, go 10 and 11?
I guess that would make it a little cleaner, yeah.
Okay. Because I'm kind of looking at it as like a 10A, 10B.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So why don't we do the Weed Berean Church as a first motion, and then we'll do the Golden Eagle as a second under agenda item 10, because we can have two motions under the same agenda item.
Yeah.
Do we have a motion for the Weed Berean Church to be moved to February 21st?
So move.
Okay. We have a second?
A second.
So we have a motion by Commissioner Mello and a second by Commissioner Hart. All those in favor to move the Weed Berean Church use permit modification hearing to February 21st. Say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Motion carries. And then do we have a motion to move the Golden Eagle Charter School use permit to January 17th?
Also move.
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion from Commissioner Veal and a second by Commissioner Fowl. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, again, motion carries. Okay, moving on to new business. Okay, agenda item one is the McLeod Partners LLC zone change and tentative parcel amount, TPM 23-02, as categorically exempt. Staff report, please.
Good morning, Commissioners. Haley Lane, Planning Director. Property owners and McLeod Partners have applied for a tentative parcel map to subdivide a 23.8-acre currently undeveloped parcel into four parcels and a remainder parcel. The parcel sizes are as follows: A, 6.57 acres, B, 6.79 acres, C, 3.95 acres, parcel D, 3.75 acres, and a remainder parcel of 2.72 acres. In order to facilitate the tentative parcel map, the property owners have applied for a zone change to replace the current heavy industrial zone district with rural residential ag, 2.5 acre minimum parcel size, to facilitate the development of the project site in a manner that would be consistent and compatible with the surrounding land uses of the project site. The project site is located southeast of the community of McLeod on APN 028530070 near Mill Road and East Colindaro Drive. The subject parcel is a legal parcel that was legally created as parcel 4 of parcel map book 7 on page 192 for Champion International Corporation. The parcel was subsequently modified by a BLA, which was recorded in August of 1986. The current project site is currently undeveloped and no development is planned as part of this tentative parcel map or zone change. The project has been reviewed by Environmental Health and a determination was made that all lots conform to Environmental Health's density standards, a requirement that the approved locations for on-site disposal systems be identified on a recorded map has been included as condition of approval number 8. Additionally, any future road improvements must meet CAL FIRE 4290 standards, and that requirement is included as condition of approval number 5. CDFW provided comment on recommendations for biological surveys to be conducted on site, but since there's no development that is currently being proposed as a part of this project, staff did not feel that recommendation was necessary. Should the project site be developed in the future, staff may require biological surveys take place before the development. Lastly, staff analysis found that the project is consistent with both the general plan and the zoning code. This project is also exempt from CEQA pursuant to the common sense exemption. And other than the agency comments, no public comments have been submitted or received. And that concludes my comments, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Great, thank you.
Through the chair.
Yeah. Hold on a second.
One last additional note, the road name of the road that's proposed as part of this project.
Yeah.
Is proposed as Parkside Court, which was not included in the staff report. But
Parkside Court.
Parkside Court. So okay. If you have any objections to that, please let me know.
Okay, great. Thank you. Commissioner Veal.
Was this the parcel that was scheduled or proposed for a high voltage solar farm?
I don't believe so.
No. Mm-mm. No, that was more towards the mill.
Yes.
Okay.
That was on the old mill side, if I recall.
Mm-hmm. So, any other questions from at this time? Okay, I'm gonna save my questions. We've been corresponding till after we open up the public hearing, unless you guys have any questions. Okay. So with that, I'm gonna open up the public hearing. Are there any project proponents that would like to speak at this time? Nobody. Okay. And then anybody, project opponents that would like to speak at this time? Okay, seeing no comments, I will close the public hearing and bring it back to the commission for discussion. Okay, so I think the project, I mean, everything is compliant. The only concern that I raised when I got the staff packet was, and this is nothing that you guys did, our planning commission, our department is doing a great job, but Cal Fire sends out a form letter that is not inclusive of all the rules. And one of my concerns is being a forester And knowing the rules, I can't not bring them to the attention of the commission. So one of the rules states for a timberland conversion, it's under 1100G, and this would be 14 CCR 1100G, and it's 1C, and it says, you okay? There's a clear intent to divide timberland into ownerships of less than 3 acres, needs a TCP, and then you can, you know, get a subdivision, you can do the exemption, as long as they have satisfied that criteria. Mm-hmm. Can you speak to that? Have you, I mean, I've kind of been in touch with CAL FIRE just on other issues about this, and I know, you know, they're working on improving their letter. Mm-hmm. But I just don't want us to, my big concern is not to slow you guys down and then give you information that's in this packet. And then after, you know, the approval, then you're like blindsided because the comments from CAL FIRE aren't inclusive of everything that needs to be done. Mm-hmm. And that is my goal here.
And we can always modify the conditions related okay. to the tentative parcel map, right, to include those additional sections that you mentioned.
Okay.
So that's a route to go where we don't slow them down. It's a condition of the project, right? So should the commission approve the project and the tentative parcel map, right, then that condition would be in place. So that would have to be satisfied. Should they, you know, have to do a TPZ or utilize the exemption or whatever.
Yeah, and it's not TPZ, it's
TCP. TCP, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
But my brain said TPZ.
Yeah. Okay.
So we can modify that condition.
Okay.
And through the chair.
Yes.
The applicant has been working with CAL FIRE and has done some clearing on the property and has gotten approval, so I don't know if you would like
to. Do you have a licensed forester helping you?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
And we've done a timber harvest on that.
Yeah, please address, because that might satisfy and it just wasn't captured in our staff report.
So. Okay. Bruce Berlinger. For the record, please state your name.
Bruce Berlinger. I'm Chief Operating Officer for McLeod Partners.
Great.
And we have done timber harvest. In fact, we just completed the reentry permit, and we just took out dead and dying trees.
Perfect.
So there have been hundreds of trees removed from that 23 acres.
Okay. Has your forester made a comment about doing a timber conversion permit or the paperwork for the exemption?
There.
Not for timber harvest.
Right.
But for the development and the subdivision. It's called a TCP.
I can have him do that.
Would you?
Yeah.
And who is your RPF, if you don't mind?
Well, it's Black Fox.
Okay. Yeah, they...
Jim.
Yeah, you need to work on a TCP.
Okay.
Evaluate that, which is separate than this, but because it was addressed in these comments as to what you need to do, mm-hmm. I don't want to give you the false impression that this is all you need to do and then get in trouble on the other end from CAL FIRE for TCP.
I'll give direction from Haley exactly what you need.
Okay.
And I'll get that done.
Perfect.
And she's been great working with us.
Yeah, no. We have good staff.
Yeah.
And again, this is just a farm letter they send out, and it's not all inclusive. So
okay.
I just, you know, I don't want to not state these things because I know these things.
Thank you.
Then sometimes I get called afterwards like, what happened?
Yeah.
So. Okay. So with that.
Can I ask another question?
Yes, sir.
This company that you work for, were they the people that were proposing that?
We still have that proposal. There's no room on the line to sell excess power. We're working on a...
So this is the same company.
We're working on a business coming in that would use that solar power, and so that would go to that.
How is that going?
Like a lot of things in Siskiyou, slow and steady.
Okay.
Yeah. So
we're still working on it.
Yeah, and really I want to clarify too the one thing. The thing that triggers this TCP mm-hmm. is there's three conditions.
And
because you're zoned non-TPZ, there's three conditions on non-TPZ land that trigger. One is the building. So as we build on this property, you'll need timberland conversion permits, and hopefully you can do those through less than three. Mm-hmm. But which then is future timber harvests are prevented, i.e. through building or other means. B, stock requirements of the applicable district will not be met within 5 years. So say you harvest and you didn't meet the stocking requirement. But, and then C, and this is where this project comes in, there is an intent to subdivide timberland into ownerships of less than 3 acres, and you have that one parcel. That's 2.9 acres. So just for your edification on where that came from.
Okay.
And Haley can give you the code and the force practice rules on where that came from.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, so with that, are there any other comments or questions on this project?
Yes.
Okay.
CDFW's letter.
Mm-hmm.
When they start reimbursing us for the damage of wildlife on private property, they can start requesting fencing requirements.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Because my understanding is these requirements are not just to the perimeter of said parcels, but within the development zone, any subsequent fencing within the outer boundary. No.
Yeah.
They ran out of money on the wolves. They don't reimburse for the elk damage. No.
Yeah.
You come play equal to equal, mm-hmm. I'll start listening.
Sure.
Until then, no. That is not in any of the conditions, correct?
Correct. We did not
I just want to make sure it doesn't find its way into any conditions.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, there's nothing related to CDFW's letter and recommendations included in the conditions. We didn't accept any of them.
Thank you. I was confirming.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. And I'm reviewing it now. You know, some of it's just standard stuff they'll run into with doing their forestry side of things with birds and surveys. So it's nothing that they may not be doing anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So,
sure.
Yeah. Commissioner Hart, did you have any?
I'll start with the road.
Okay.
Through the middle of these parcels.
Can you speak up a little bit? You don't have a microphone.
I got a microphone right there.
Oh, I'm deaf.
Does it work?
Our mic system is going downhill fast.
Okay.
And then I will speak up. Back on page 5, second paragraph. This project proposes a non-exclusive drive and no road, creating double frontage for all proposed parcels. So I take that to be it's going to be a public road?
It's non-exclusive, so it's not a publicly maintained road, but it's a road that can be accessed by anybody who needs to use it. It's not something that they could gate off or anything like that.
So who has the liability? Property owner?
The property owner has the liability.
Okay, and the property owner also is going to be responsible for snow
removal. I can't hear you.
The property owner will be responsible for snow removal?
Yes.
All of it.
It's not a publicly maintained road, so unless they enter in some agreement with the McLeod CSD in order to plow that road, then they would have to maintain it, yes.
Do they understand what kind of a legal nightmare they are creating by doing this?
I'm just talking from experience of people coming and using the road
and then claiming a right.
So most roads in our county that are not public are non-exclusive easements.
Yeah, I know, and then they turn into lawsuits 10 years down the road. Okay, well, it's their property. Property owner beware. What's the water source for development?
That's me. They do not have a cannon well served from the CSD, so they'll have to drill wells at this point. Yeah.
Septic same?
Yeah, and the septic, there's a weird condition, so the septic will be based on it's approved for septic, but some of them may be into like an engineered territory depending on where the water level is.
Okay. That's enough for me for right now.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Commissioner Mello?
Not at this time.
Okay. Where'd you get that map?
It's
at the very end.
Why am I not finding them?
It's the very last page.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. She didn't have a bag.
I need the map.
Well, I have the digital.
No, she's like me.
Yeah. I got my computer. But
there it is.
Oh, it just was slow to load, okay. So I thought it was like nothing. Oh, I apologize. Give me a minute if you don't mind. It just, every time I go to that page, it was blank. Snikes, is it not? My computer is acting up. Okay. Okay, and I see the road. And there's a creek. It says seasonal drainage. I assume that's just like ephemeral, it just flows when it's raining type of creek?
It doesn't flow.
Doesn't flow. Okay, yeah. So otherwise, no main water courses on the property, from what I can see on the topos.
No.
Okay. Any other questions? Mr.
I got a question, but I'll it's.
Yep, go ahead, Commissioner Hart.
Well, but it's not this specific project, other than it's a question for staff.
Okay, we want to do that at...
So maybe during commissioner
what
comments.
I'm thinking is, when these people came in and started this project to get to this point, what was the time frame of the manpower hours? We'll answer that when we get
okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, let's do that with the thing. Okay. So do we have... anybody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Okay, Commissioner Hart, go ahead.
I move that we adopt resolution PC 2023-024, resolution of the Planning Commission of the County of Siskiyou, State of California, conditionally approving the Cloud Partners LLC tentative parcel map PTM-23-02, and recommend that the County Board of Supervisors determine the project exempt from CEQA and approve the Cloud Partners LLC zone change Z-23-02 by adopting draft ordinance rezoning 23.8 acres, APN 028-530-070 from M-H to R-R-B-2.5.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
So moved.
Second.
Oh. Go ahead, Mr. Fowle.
Okay, so we have a motion from Commissioner Hart and a second by Commissioner Fowle. Let's see, this is a roll call vote, if I recall right.
Ready?
Oh, let's see, actually it says a voice vote.
I think that needs to be roll call.
Yeah, it says, I think it
yeah,
is roll call.
Yeah, it's roll call because it's a zone change.
That's what I thought, but.
Yeah.
Okay, so it, I might.
Commissioner Hart.
Yes.
Commissioner Mello.
Yes.
Commissioner Fowle.
Yes.
Commissioner Veal.
Yes.
Chair Lindler.
Yes. Okay, so motion carries. And thank you, guys. Okay. Item three, items for discussion and direction. Ongoing staff update regarding the general plan.
Haley Lane, Planning Director. Super quick update. We internally, as staff, have received Chapter 8 of the Administrative Background Report, and Chapter 8 is related to public facilities and public services. So I'm currently reviewing that. Once I review, then it will go to our internal TAC for the other internal staff folks to take a look. And then we'll keep reviewing chapters as they come in through that process. And then
what does Chapter 8 deal with? Like, what's the...
Public facilities and public services.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what Chapter 8 is. So I just took a look. It was like 100 pages, so...
Got it.
You know.
And then, yeah. At what point again, and I know you've asked this, but yeah. I've been gone, do we get to review it?
So once the entire background report has been finalized internally and embedded by the TAC is when you all will see it, as well as the public.
Okay.
So, that I believe is slated to be final sometime in the spring.
Okay, so a few more months.
Yeah, so that'll be the next,
Do the incorporated cities use the same consultant in this process?
I don't believe any of the incorporated cities have used this consultant for their general plan updates, to my knowledge.
Are they in the process of doing that?
I know City of Wairika is currently, yeah. And I believe they're, I know Juliana is doing a lot of it herself, actually. It's staff-led, and I believe they're utilizing Plan West Partners, I think.
Okay.
For some of the technical stuff.
And who sits on the TAC?
So it's all of the county department heads.
Okay, so it's not a public advisory.
Correct, it's an internal TAC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, for example, like this public facilities chapter, we'd want Public Works to take a look at it, mm-hmm. you know, for example, right?
Yeah.
Versus somebody else. So.
Okay.
Now, Chapter 8, you mentioned the title is Public Services.
Mm-hmm.
Does that include the necessary services provided by the Ag Department for noxious weed control, predators, etc.?
I don't know. I will double check because I just started looking at the chapter. I will double check. I don't remember taking a look at that.
Okay, because
so
I know
sure.
We've worked for years to get, you know, a county composting site for carcasses. We know we have issues with noxious weeds. We know we have potential testing, water, soil, etc.
Yep. Okay. I will make a note of that.
Good point.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you guys want to add? Okay. So with that, let's move on to miscellaneous. The next meeting of the Planning Commission is scheduled for Wednesday, January 17th, here at 9 a.m. Is there any correspondence? Okay,
no.
Any additional staff comments?
I don't have any to you. No.
Okay, seeing none. And then commission comments. Commissioner Hart? Commissioner Hart, you want
to
start?
So yesterday the Water Board had a hearing, started at 2:30, I don't know what time, if I remember, the curtailment orders for irrigation of Shasta and Scott. The last lady that spoke, her comment was to all the board members of the Water Board, which were, close your eyes and imagine what Scott Valley would look like with no agriculture. And I brought this up before, and that's why I'm kind of, why I asked the question about staff time to take this project on, to get from when they started to where we just passed this, and then it goes to the supervisor. 6 months?
Yes, and as you are all aware, we're down a planner, so we're utilizing SHN for contracting on-call planning services, so we've been giving them some of our larger projects that we just can't focus on. So that is one project that they helped us process and analyze, but about 6 months turnaround even for them taking a look at it.
Okay, so these people took heavy industrial and downgraded to rural residential agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
The Scott Valley Area Plan, which that's my next question, is that in the general plan update, is that also being looked at?
That is not, at this time, the Scott Valley Area Plan will not be updated.
Well, it's going to have to be. And the reason being, is my understanding, that if people lose their water rights, their properties become non, you know, they're just not going to make a living doing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And once you take the water away from the property, it then becomes non-prime ag. And people are going to start coming in the door, especially, you know, people who've got smaller acreages
mm-hmm.
wanting to do something.
How can they take that away without compensation?
They're doing it.
They've been doing it.
They've already done it.
Yeah.
Like, we've lost water on our, I mean, and I'm minor, mm-hmm. but we have, you know, old water rights, and we were shut off for 2-3 years.
They shut off all water rights back to 1850.
Yeah.
And nobody's got rights to go back before that,
yeah.
other than a barrier.
What year?
1850.
Oh.
So, I'm looking worst case scenario, you know, this department, you don't have the staff, you don't
mm-hmm.
have the funding to take on something that's going to be a real potential coming in your door.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of one of those, there isn't a restriction. on drilling the house well. Mm-hmm. There's a moratorium on ag wells over there, mm-hmm. but not house wells. So if you go with what I'm reading here for non-prime ag, somebody comes in wants to downgrade to rural residential, lot size says varies. Or you could go to res 1 through res 4. Again, property or lot size, it's kind of all of a sudden you got a million straws in the valley over there instead of a couple of hundred ag wells. It's still the same effect. And it's just something to think about. I'm just kind of curious if some of these guys have just about had enough of all of this. So mm-hmm. Dusty asked him, don't you get compensated? And the only way you get compensated is you come in and go through their door. And you sell it for, because everybody's discovered Scott Valley. They all want a piece of it. They want to build a house out there. So I don't know that there's any old families left over there. Are we really old?
Jenners.
Jenners, about the only ones.
Jenner, Brian, Smith. Hayden.
Okay, three.
Smith.
We got two out here. Yep. That's it. Mark and Mark. Everybody else is gone. All the grain farmers are gone. They've all pulled up their tent. So, yep. Okay, that's all. I'm just curious.
Through the chair.
Yes, Commissioner Mello.
Jeff Fenton will remember this. When they tried to do away with the Williamson Act, I asked a question. Do water rights go with the property in perpetuity? And at that time, the answer was yes. Is that still the case?
Yes.
Unless you live in California.
I happen to live in California.
They're choosing to selectively ignore certain rights.
Selectively ignore.
If you live in Shasta or Scott Valley, they seem to not really matter. Mm-hmm. And there are numerous bills in Sacramento that have been drafted. Luckily, none of them got signed this year, but three or four of them have become two-year bills that will, if signed, will challenge the validity and the recognition of the state of California of any pre-1914 water rights.
And we, the people, can't do a damn thing about it.
Not up here, we don't have the votes.
Yep.
That's what happens when you have a supermajority Senate, an Assembly, and a governor who has political aspirations to be president.
So, thank you.
Yeah, and along those lines, you know, that's really going to change, like, the whole Williamson Act thing for Bernadette. you know, as these people start selling off. So I know I worry about, like, how that's all gonna play out with, anyways.
Well, the Williamson Act has not been modified. Is that correct, Jeff?
No, but as people try to start selling off a piece that may be within Williamson or breaking up these ranches, it's gonna potentially jeopardize the entire Williamson Act contract.
Yeah, but there's an avenue to sell off Williamson property, but you have to wait 5 years or something like
that.
Well,
you can. No, I'm not saying you can't sell it off.
But say, you can do a parcel split.
But
you can't.
You can do a parcel split. But my only concern is this: if you then try to sell off, you know, say you got 1,000 acres and you want to sell off just to 40, right, just to kind of keep some revenue coming in, and that 40's in Williamson. How is that going to work with the Williamson contracts and some of the issues, you know, with the policy of the, what is it, the 2% change, and what's that trigger where the whole contract goes away? Am I getting this wrong? But do you know what I'm talking about?
Sure, yeah. So I think you're thinking of the total ag preserve, which is related to a contract, and increasing that ag preserve in size, right? So the board has been pretty... Yeah.
So it's only increasing, not decreasing?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So if you wanted to sell off a 40 or 100 acres of the ranch to keep some income going, mm-hmm. on, you can do that without jeopardizing the rest.
You could do that, and it potentially, if it was going to another property owner, right, not a family member, you'd have to do a contract amendment, an ag preserve amendment, right, because the contracts are by property owner. So that would be your modification there, but it wouldn't...
How would that work to, like, because as I've learned, Siskiyou County has this thing where it's, each parcel number isn't necessarily the legal parcel.
Right.
There's multiple parcels in that legal parcel, so now you're splitting up that legal parcel.
Right. So
how does that affect that Williamson Act?
Yeah, so that all has to be looked at with the surveyor, because we evaluate based on legal parcel, because assessable parcel numbers, they're subject to change. We don't get notification if, you know, let's say your parcel's split up into 5 APNs, and then one day it's 8 APNs, you know, so... that's what we base it off, is a legal parcel, right? Because that doesn't change unless a BLA occurs, a parcel split occurs, right? So
okay.
There's that record of land exchange.
But taking it out of that legal parcel still won't trigger a cancellation of their Williamson?
Not for the primary.
Right.
Okay, good. Got it.
But it's all, if you lose your water right, it's not primag anymore.
Well, that's, there's
and,
that
and
too.
That's where... If somebody wants to do exactly what Ken was talking about, then that puts more burden on staff. You have to review that contract, and does the property owner, does that Williamson Act carry with that parcel they just sold, or does it automatically go away? And I would think the supervisor would say, yeah, it goes away, because we want the tax revenue to go up. On that smaller parcel, no. Please explain.
Yeah.
And then the other question along with that, so in this legal parcel, you have these individual parcels. Mm-hmm. Not every parcel in that individual parcel, or at the individual parcel level, is Williamson.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're trying to clear this up.
Mm-hmm.
That acreage, say you've got, you know, maybe this is a real world example, 200 acres. A parcel that's not Williamson.
How big is a parcel? Just for my own question.
And then say the rest of the Williamson is only 1,000 acres.
Doesn't matter.
So if this 200 acres in this overall parcel, the legal parcel, get my terminology right, is Williamson, but 200 acres is not of like the individual parcel. Does that individual parcel, to get it cleaned up, have to be back into Williamson? Do you know what I'm saying?
So, this is Bernadette Sisson, associate planner. So going to when property is sold,
right.
If it's a portion of an existing contract,
right.
It runs with, the contract runs with the land. So you can have two separate property owners under one contract. County policy is that they are to apply for a contract amendment to create their own contract. If they don't, a non-renewal is issued, and it takes 9 years for that to roll out for it to go out of Williamson Act. If they do, they must qualify in soils,
right.
Is how it's evaluated, and then a legitimate commercial ag use,
right.
And a minimum of 40 acres. Is rule of thumb, unless it's like nut or vine, you know, farming.
Mm-hmm.
Legal parcel, if we find that a portion of a legal parcel is not part of the, within an ag preserve,
uh-huh.
And not under contract, it needs to be addressed. The board will consider it, we present it, if it's, they consider it a substantial increase, they may consider to bring it into contract. If they consider it to be too big of an increase, they can deny that, and the entire property will be issued, the entire parcel would be issued a non-renewal. Or the property owner has the option to do boundary line adjustments or tentative parcel map to divide that property, so the non-Williamson Act property is a separate, then a separate legal parcel. And then the other property would remain under contract. I did that.
So you spent an immense amount of time going through reviewing Williamson Act contracts for the last year and a half or 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
So if the scenario that I put out here about what could happen in Scott Valley happens, and you get a bunch of people come in, and you know, there's some people out there got 150 acres in their farming, and they're working farming other people, you know, doing contract work for them. They said, I've had enough of it, I want to sell it. I want to cut it up and sell it into lots. It's still got to be 40 acres minimum. But once they sell that lot, what if the other person wants, that's now bought the lot 5 or 6 years down the road, and wants to turn around and cut that up again? Was that Williamson on contract? They've got to wait 9, 10 years to roll it out?
Correct.
Can, is there a buyout option?
That doesn't really exist anymore.
It doesn't.
So I've done.
But the Board of Supervisors can allow it by a vote.
It, not only the Board of Supervisors, but the Department of Conservation.
Yeah.
So it's. I've done a few classes with the, or I guess meetings with the Department of Conservation has been discussed, and they're very, very rare. They normally do not get approved. There's several standards that they have to meet in order for that to be approved, and usually it's that it's a development that they want to have occur on that property that there's no other land anywhere in the area that could possibly do that on. And so to, in order to prove that, it's practically impossible.
The docket is growing, though, for DOC in the Central Valley with the fallowing and the loss of water, and you're seeing their docket is heavy right now. They're backed up for about 6 months because you can't do ag on about 2.5 million acres in the Central Valley now. That's going to happen, and that's where Commissioner Hart's right. We've got the Scott Valley land plan that says 80 acre minimum for prime ag. Well, you lose the water, it's no longer prime. So now you can at least drop it down to a 40, but you're going to have guys that, based on the LCSs by the State Water Board, are going to say, okay, I'm going to give up 120 acres that I'm not going to irrigate anymore, so I have enough water to irrigate what I, the rest, and those 120s are going to get split up into 340s and get sold off and be done with it.
And I know on another route for, conservation easements, like the legacy fund that's put through CCI, they just pulled $6 million out of that because of the state budget issues. So there's even less money to, you know, if you wanted to try to gain revenue that way.
State is in the hole big time.
Yep. Commissioner Veal, you had a question.
What's the status on J Tranch and Kitty Creek?
We just received a proposal from them for their plan development amendment, so that is currently in review and in process.
JH,
correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and then
that'll be resolved. When will it be resolved?
I mean,
you and I probably won't be on the commission anymore.
No, probably within the next few months.
Oh.
Yeah, so we've been working with them on their amendments.
We
had an idea of when they were going to submit, so just taking a look at everything.
Okay.
And Kidder Creek is same?
Well, you know, Kidder Creek, the project was approved, the EIR was certified, so I know they're just working towards meeting, you know, their long docket of conditions of approval, which, you know, likely will take a few years, I think, for them to satisfy all those requirements prior to the issuance of the permit, so they're allowed for that additional occupancy.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Questions, Commissioner Powell?
Yes. So an individual contacted me, who ironically this time was not within my district, but raised an intriguing question and request for point for clarification. And it has to do with consistency between the general plan and building department requirements for adding of accessory structures. And it is specifically dealing with the adding on of a breezeway, which has the requirements of being in a residential area no greater than 20 feet. But another portion, as I understand it, and I've been trying to do my homework diligently on this, the existing structure has an elevation of 35 feet, And so we have one portion of the county saying in order to build it, it must be at the same elevation. But the other is saying, yet it cannot be greater than 20 feet. So in order to be built, it would have to be fully enclosed, sharing walls, etc. And as I went in and looked at the various references that were sent to me, in Scott Valley alone, there are 7 that I'm aware of that were approved in the 70s and early 80s that have accessory structures that are lower than the elevation of the building. And so I get and I understand we have been through many building inspectors over the years, and we've obviously been through a lot of staff. And so it's another one of those situations, I believe, where it's how does a certain individual interpret accessory, and how can we make it possible for individuals to add, build onto existing structures? How can we make it happen so we don't have these restrictions that are in potential conflict between planning department, building department?
Are those for occupancy?
No.
They're outbuilding.
I can start.
But there are subsets. If there is a livable room in it, then there's another little deal you follow down.
Could you re-explain that? So if you have a barn, is it?
No. This is dealing solely with residences, as I understand.
So when you say accessory, you're talking like an ADU?
No.
Okay.
This is a residence house, as I understand it, and the elevation, the ridge point of the existing roof is roughly 35 feet.
Okay.
The owner would like to add onto the house a breezeway, carport.
Okay.
But under one part of the code, because of meeting setbacks and whatnot, it cannot be any greater than 20 feet in elevation.
As a detached structure.
As a detached structure.
I think that's
where the things don't meet. In order to do it with the other, it has to be the same elevation as the ridge point, but you have one saying, nope, it can't be any more than 20. So they're potentially in conflict with this, and okay. I don't know if there are a lot of these situations. Maybe this is unique.
Is that a general plan issue?
It's more of a zoning code issue, yeah. An interpretation of zoning code. I know the project you're speaking of, we've dealt with this applicant for like a year and a half, mm-hmm. on this issue. And in terms of, you know, interpretation, right, it's subject to the planning director and the building official. We try to be consistent with each other as much as possible so it's not confusing, right? Because how I'm going to look at it may be different than how Glenn is going to look at it per se. But our base minimum, right, is always California Building Code, so that's what we always try to be consistent with and fall under. And so, the situation is, the original proposal was a detached garage. So, hey, if you want that increased height, you're going to have to attach it. And so, you know, through that, the building official, and I don't make the determination on, like, what am I going to call attached. That's a building official thing. The building official has been pretty strict as you need to attach it. It can't be a breezeway. It has to be attached. And so that's where his interpretation stands. The only type of, and that's pretty common, I would say, in zoning codes, right? Those different height differences with attached and detached in terms of attaching to a residential structure. There could be modifications we could make in terms of height requirements of attaching and detaching. I know that probably hasn't been looked at our zoning code ever. And obviously in terms of consistency, you know, that's the issue you're going to run into with an old code, right? Is there was different, you know, California Building Code regulations back in the 70s and 80s, right? And I know for this specific example, the
building official has been utilizing or referencing it as a U occupancy, and there's certain standards with the U occupancy, which I believe that's where the issues have been arising, is how do you make something a U occupancy? And maybe perhaps in the future, or sorry, in the past, there was different regulations on U occupancy, right, which are breezeways, carports, detached garages. It's like a whole gamut of things. So that's
what
proximity
I proximity to the original structure important? Is that play a role in?
What
if you're out there?
Not as long as it abides by the appropriate setbacks on the property.
Right, right. And then, you know, with this structure, it's not only a garage. There's like an office space also
correct.
Included. So I know there's different considerations with that that the building official has, you know, interpreted a lot of times with that individual. So
I guess it's in a time where things are tough,
mm-hmm.
and we have individuals wanting to spend money in the county. We've got to find a way to meet both the code, the law, the ordinances, and find a solution somehow. And this is not planning directed. Outside of planning, we've entered a time of so many stinking regulations and restrictions, you darn near have to get a permit to chew bubblegum while riding a bicycle.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how ridiculous things have gotten. And I understand when it comes to planning and building, yeah, we're finally updating our general plan. We have passed portions within subsections over 20 years.
Yeah.
And now we're finding we have inconsistencies. The prime example, 3-4 years ago, we had a planning director who did not see a facility to do killing of livestock, butchering on a ranch as accessory.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what ranches did for hundreds of years. We killed livestock on our property, and there are existing ranches that still have the pool room, the kill house, the butcher block. It is part of the ranch. Normal person would say, yeah, it's accessory. But different individuals seeing different, having different definitions for a word.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, we've got to simplify this somehow.
Yeah, well, and that's a big reason, right, for a zoning code update and the general plan is to be consistent and have definitions and processes and things like that, and don't leave everything up to interpretation. Obviously, there's case-by-case basis of things, but that's the whole purpose of a zoning code. You know, when I first got on staff here, I was like, oh, let me look at the definition section. Nothing. I was like, you know,
now it
so.
Is, in this particular case, let me ask this question. Is it more a conflict between BC state BCSs versus county, or is it potential conflict within county plan, building ordinance, etc.? Is the issue coming from the state BCSs or the county?
Well, the issue is coming from the California Building Code. Nothing additional of county regulations. I mean, so for this instance, in terms of planning, we had to make the determination, is this an accessory structure or not? Yes, it's a garage. That's how I, you know, we view it. And then there's a, you know, okay, do you want to attach it or detach it? And then that's where those requirements came in of, you know, is it accessory? Is it not accessory? That's the determination.
Does fire insurance regulations play into it?
Fire insurance regulations, potentially, right? If you have an office and a garage, maybe there
the
might
attachment,
be.
I mean, the attachment.
But it shouldn't limit the ability to build.
Exactly.
That's between the insurance company and the property owner.
Exactly.
And I don't know, Rachel, if you wanted to add.
So for this particular project, a building permit was submitted a long time ago, like over a year ago, I think, at this point, and it was for a detached garage with an office above.
Mm-hmm.
And in the zoning code, that district that it's in, the maximum height was being exceeded by what they were proposing. So I told them if they attached it to the house, then they could use the house's maximum height for their building. So they submitted a new proposal. Unfortunately, a breezeway is not something that it actually attaches a garage to a house. You have to have a shared wall, and a breezeway by definition does not have any walls. So really all they need to do is put some walls on the breezeway and it'll become an attached structure.
Okay, so hold on right there, because this is where I have the question. Our house has a breezeway, mm-hmm. and it has a shared wall with the house. The wall of the house for which the breezeway connects to the house.
There is no wall between the house and the garage.
Correct. It's just like an overhang.
It's literally a breezeway.
But don't you have a wall over here where it connects to the house?
There is no wall that is common between the house and the garage that is proposed as part of this particular building.
Then how can it be a breezeway?
A breezeway does not have walls by definition. It has a roof only. The walls are on the house and the walls are on the garage. There is no common wall between them. All that would need to
be... Oh, you're saying there has to be a third wall.
A connection.
Two does not.
Yes.
And see, that, to me, is nuts. I know it's not you.
Yeah, but that's a building code.
When I see a shared wall, we have a breezeway. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have a roof hanging in space. If it connects to the house, to me, automatically, that is a shared wall. And if there's a wall over here, now you have two. Under a strict definition of sharing.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what the reasoning why that you have to have the wall.
So we rely on building code.
I know what I'm just
to
saying,
come up with a definition.
The safety thing,
so building code requires that it have a shared wall of some sort, and a breezeway by definition does not have a wall.
But he's asking, do you know what the genesis of that is? Like why they.
Building code, they rely on a very specific dictionary edition for their definitions of certain things. Mm-hmm. If you go to that dictionary and you look up an attached structure, it's one that shares a wall. Mm-hmm. If you look up breezeway in that dictionary, it by definition does not have any walls. So if you put a breezeway in between a house and a garage, they are not connected because a breezeway, by definition, does not have a wall.
So what if they just went in and instead of calling it a breezeway, called it a roof or an overhang?
It still wouldn't connect because it still would not have a shared wall. The wall that is at the end of one breezeway is not shared with the other structure.
Let me ask you this. I've seen some, like, what I would consider a breezeway. But instead of building here with the connecting roof, right? They've got like walls this way with like glass.
I propose that, and I'm not sure why they haven't taken that.
But that would work
if it has a
if
shared wall.
They wanted to
wall,
put like windows, glass windows on either side.
If they have a shared wall, whether it's made of glass or if it's a solid surface that's not see-through, it would likely meet building code requirements. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why they aren't just making a wall.
Well, see,
that's all they would need to do.
And that's what I love with our breezeway carport is in the summertime, we have constant air going through there, and that's the coolest place on the ranch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a small residential parcel that does not have much space, and it's the Res 1 zoning, which is our highest, it's not
most
rural residential.
Right.
I told the individual I would bring it up for discussion. I still go back. We have so many limitations, and I realize it's not necessarily county level. It's at a higher level. How do we find a way to have it come to a meeting of the minds?
Yeah.
Commissioner Hart, do you have any other comments?
So how do you deal with container boxes? Container boxes?
Connexes.
How do you deal? Because there's numerous where they've gone and they put those out, then they build a roof over it. Mm.
So Connex boxes are actually something you have to get a building permit for.
Oh, you do?
Yes. And they actually, just this past year, there were California building code changes, and you actually have to meet very specific and strict requirements for them.
Mm-hmm. That's only if you're going to live in them, though.
Right.
Oh, but what about like?
No, sorry. It's not only if you're living in it. It's any time you put an Xbox on a piece of property, you have to get a building permit. It has to meet very specific and strict requirements, and those it changed
within this the last code update. Yeah, so last year.
This last code update it changed, and you actually.
All those ones you see down at Walmart.
I got a question.
Building permit.
Walmart is not in the county's jurisdiction.
Well, and I know the city code is they allow temporary. I have a question then.
Okay.
So, a couple years ago, you know, I did a project. Brought a Connex box for temporary storage for all my stuff because I can't find a storage unit. Even if it's temporary, you need a building permit?
So, building does not permit temporary structures. Mm-hmm. So if you put something on your property, then it would be something that would require a permit, regardless if you consider it temporary or not.
Can you get de facto permits?
What if the box was on the property, brought down to the property 8 years ago?
So unless it had, we're a complaint-driven code
I've got plenty of complaints about a blue box that's out in front of everybody.
So the thing is that if it got put on the property 10 years ago and it wasn't permitted at the time that it was placed, and somebody complains about it now, and we look back and say, did that Connex box get a permit? No, you need to permit or you need to get rid of it. And you have to meet whatever the current building code requirements are for getting a current permit.
Oh, you could my list has just grown.
No
problem.
Yeah.
Well, really no idea. Out.
So get along with your neighbors.
Oh, wow.
Is this become taxable on your property taxes if you put that box there?
That is not a question for planning. That is a assessor question.
You say Connex. What is that?
It's the shipping containers.
Container.
The metal containers that usually go on the back of semi-trucks.
Yeah, you see them on the trains all the time. So what happens if you put wheels under it? Then what?
That is a good question. That's a building
You look at these mobile homes that are going
then
in.
Then it's a motor vehicle.
Yeah,
they're skirting around it, but they leave the wheels and axles on there, so they just pay a DMV fee, and they're free and clear.
I don't think that's the case any longer.
Oh, really?
Okay. Sure.
Well,
because I have to redo it on everything that you said.
Yeah.
Left the leg, paid the license fee, left the wheels on the and the axles on the trailer, skirted it, and all he paid was annual license fees for that mobile home, or whatever they call it. Then. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Now they require a foundation.
I think it would be good because so many people don't know these things. You know, does the county have like a social media page and like the weekly, did you know? Because there's so many things. I've been on the commission, 5-6 years now? I don't know all this.
The county as a whole does have a Facebook page. The planning department also has a Facebook page. We don't have anything like that as far as I know, a weekly do you know type of thing. We generally only post projects like the general plan and the housing element update on our planning site.
Because I think it would be good, I mean, just my opinion, even if it like weekly is probably too much, but like a monthly, did you know these things?
No.
Because so many people don't know, unless, you know, that's fine and you just do the complaint-driven process. I don't know what the right answer is, but I think some people would know. Commissioner Mello, your turn.
You can put anything you want to on there, and the number of people that really care, I don't think you can measure that low.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Well, they don't care until they get,
That's
a
right.
complaint.
Okay, then when you get a complaint, then you come and you go down the process. But until that happens, don't waste your time. That's my opinion.
Got it.
So the other avenue, I know there, we've got 4 businesses that sell locally those containers. One of them does the modifications, goes through the building permit. I mean, they build shops, tap rooms, dugouts for high schools, COS, etc. They go through a permitting process and whatnot for the placement of said structure. The other three, it's pretty much you show up, you pay $1,200, and they drop the box off where you want it, and life goes on. Do those individuals that are selling them, are they aware of the requirement for the placement of the box? Could a buyer come back for them, for the seller not informing them of said requirements? Is there any liability there?
So basically, if a Connex container salesman sells a box to somebody who doesn't have a building permit, the reality is we're only going to go after the property owner themselves.
Sure. Just being clear on that.
Yep.
Okay.
So how many are not going to use the
I don't know, and I don't
a bunch.
Yep. So I just have one last thing. Is just a list of upcoming projects. Is there kind of a calendar? I received a few, but we've kind of had a lapse with me being gone.
Yeah.
Of like upcoming projects. Is there kind of a schedule of what we can plan for?
Sure. I'll resend you our planning staff agendas because I don't think I've sent one in the
okay.
last month or so. But let's see. The January meeting, we will be bringing back the vacation rental ordinance. Per government code, we need to notice it as a whole. So even though we went through the whole process, it's getting shot back down to Planning Commission for review, and then it will go back to the board for review and approval. So that will be coming in January. The Golden Eagle use permit, that will also be coming in January. February, the Weed Burien.
Bernadette has a few projects in January as well.
Oh, what are your projects on?
I have a time extension for a tentative parcel that you approved, a boundary line adjustment with multiple frontage, and rec plan amendment for a mine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and then February will be Weed Burien Church and the CEQA addendum. Let's see. I'm trying to think of anything else.
McMillan project's all cleaned up over in New Valley, huh?
Yeah. Right.
It's seeded.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
I said it's even seeded.
Is it?
Yep.
Boy, that's
okay. And then in March and April,
I'm not sure off the top of my head what we have scheduled. Potentially JH in April.
Okay.
We'll
that's
see.
Gonna be about the same time we have first reading on parts of the general.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just with planting season, I just want to make sure I'm here. I will do my best then to schedule around those.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And I'll send you the staff agenda after this.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, were you or Mr. Dean in on the call yesterday?
Mm-mm.
One or both of you needs to be on the State Water Board
okay. Meetings.
Have to be.
Okay. I'll try to get that info.
It's going to have too many ramifications for county planning and development
okay. To
not know what's going on, in my opinion. I'm on three conference calls every week, every Tuesday, Wednesday,
okay.
and Thursday, dealing with water, e-regs, and establishing in-stream flows. And
I can tell you, I will be at continuing education class on June 19th.
Okay.
So unless there's a way to change the date, I'll have to have Commissioner Fowle do the June 19th meeting.
Okay.
June 19th, I will not be here. I'll be in my truck pulling the RV to Sonoma for the NASCAR race.
Yes.
I can tell you that right now.
I give up a...
And I have to be at this one because I'm the chair of the California Forest Pest Council.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my father's son getaway each year.
Yeah, and this is the field tour where we go out and look at baby trees.
Cool.
So I have to be there.
Okay.
So, but I just as a heads up, just because
okay.
I feel bad meeting. So with that, no other questions or comments before I adjourn?
Well, I could ask them, but I'm not here.
Yeah, I've got more.
Too long of a discussion took place.
Okay, then I will adjourn the meeting at 10:15.
Apparently.
Oh, really?